across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Evening, dear listener. Yes, man, what do you want?
Oh, I just thought I'd tell you that I'm stranded in Euston Station. How are you?
It's as good as your other calls. Well done. Thank you. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give me a call about pretty much anything, except for maybe you're standing in Euston. I mean, why would you tell me that, guys? Where the hell... Why would you tell me that? Now, computer, obey me and make noise. Why is my computer not making noise? There we go. Keep that up. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio for one night only. You can watch us on periscope.tv/Ian Lee. You can also watch it at the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rabbithole. But more importantly than that, you can listen to us on DAB. You can listen to us by downloading the app or by going to talkradio.co.uk. I don't really know where to go with the show tonight. I don't know if I think the cold has done something to my head, man. It's just make. I feel. I've got nothing. I've got nothing to give. I've got nothing to give. Feel a bit empty in terms of where we're going to go. Oh, 11 o'clock. Stephen Page is coming on. You know, we've had Stephen in the studio with us. He's going to be on the phone because he's coming back to do another tour of the United Kingdom. Who'd have thunk it? And he's given us an exclusive interview at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock at night. So we'll be talking to him. In the meantime... I don't know where... I don't know where to go. So I tell you what we'll do is we will sit and listen to the calming sounds of the sea. Although I think it might get a bit stormy later on. And I'll allow you to phone up and tell me what direction the show should take this evening. How about that? Should we do that? You tell me how you think the show should progress this evening. Because if I'm honest, I've not got a clue. I don't really know. I don't know where we're going to end up by 1 o'clock when Paul Ross comes in and takes over. Let's leave it up to you. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Jack. Good evening, Jack.
Hello, Ian.
Evening, Jack. What direction do you think the show should go in this evening?
Well, I think we should do a 3 minute silence.
Well, Jack, we did that we did that 2 or 3 weeks ago, man.
Oh, wait, did I say a 3 minute silence? My head's not with it.
What?
I've not been feeling well today.
This is Broken Britain. This is Broken Britain. This youngster is the reason we have Brexit, Trump. It's the reason Jamie Lomas came second in I'm a Celebrity. It's because of people like... It's because of Jack.
Yay!
I wouldn't celebrate it!
I mean,
There we go. Where is this call going, Jack? Because even by your standards, it's especially rambling. Rambling Jack. That's somewhere, isn't it?
Well, I was on the phone to say good news my sister just walked in and we're talking to you.
That's great news that your sister's walked in. Good news all around. A celebration. Okay. So, 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number. And I await your suggestions on where the show should go this evening. I really don't know. I've had I've had a busy old day today, and I've just not got into show mode in my head. Busy day. Went back to the house in Windsor and kind of helped tidy some stuff up there and did some washing and I took the dog for a walk and then went and did some shopping and then picked up my youngest from school because they closed early and my eldest wasn't at school because he's got a stomach bug and then came back and played a little bit of a Mickey Mouse game on... No, it was literally a Mickey Mouse game, not a euphemism, on the Xbox. It's quite good. It was an old game. Mickey Mouse. There was a number 2 in it. It was a sequel. And you go around with a rabbit. And you've got to zap stuff and paint stuff. Not Castle of Illusions. Anyway. So I was playing that with my son. And then we went for a little sledge. And we weren't near any hills. But so we just took turns sitting on the sledge and dragging each other along the road. Oh, I tell you what was exciting is the house in Windsor where they all live, there's a driveway. It's very posh. It's a small driveway, but it kind of points downwards. And I made the mistake of trying to park on the driveway. Well, I couldn't stop skipping forward and slipping forward, caller. I couldn't stop slipping forward. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Oh, yeah. can we have all new callers, please? Because I'm bored of hearing the same people.
Yes, so am I. Trust me. So I kept slipping and sliding, and then when I tried to reverse my car out of the driveway, it was exciting. It was very tense. So I mean, you know, it's literally a car's depth, but it took me 3 or 4 minutes. Kept sliding. Here's the thing. I am an excellent bad weather driver, and I know how to drive in slippery conditions. Unlike most of you, I know how to drive in slippery conditions. Okay, you don't rev it too much, just gets the wheels turning. So, but sometimes you've got to give it a little bit of welly. But also, you've got to, when you're reversing up an icy hill, you've got to ride the steering wheel a little bit. You've got to ride the steering wheel a little bit. Just left, right, left, right, left, right. And that helps you go up. And then my youngest fell. Anyway, what I'm saying is I've had a real sort of dad's day. And I've not had a radio presenter's type of day. So I've got nothing. I'm on my third cup of Horlicks of the day. Oh. I love it, man. I love it. You can get addicted to Horlicks. It fires off neurons in your brain. Good evening, Gary.
Good evening, Jim.
Yep. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear you?
I can hear me. Thank you very much. I'm right next to me.
Right, you are you? Gosh. What have you got for us?
I've just been ringing up to say about the snow.
Go on, then.
If you noticed, we looked outside the window earlier on.
Yes.
There's snow everywhere.
It's been snowing everywhere.
It's snowing everywhere. It's doing my brain lighting. I can't get you out of the house and go to the shops to fetch you out for bread. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, what is there? There's nothing to do. All you can do is sit in, make a nice hot drink. I really fancy some hot Ribena.
Oh, my God, you go crazy, old fantastic.
Have you got Ribena?
I haven't got Ribena. I prefer it myself. If I'm going to have a drink, I'll probably have a glass of milk. No. If I'll be honest with you, Ian.
Well, in that case, go and warm some milk up.
I might just do that. I'm going to have a sandwich as well.
Go and do that and listen to the radio.
That is a great, fantastic idea. Thank you, Ian. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother. Ta-ta. Keith's not happy. Keith? I'm going to assume Keith's having a bad day. Because I've gone out of my way to be decent. Isn't Keith the fellow I met for a photo after a show in Luton, isn't he? I'm sure he is. So I'm going to assume you're having a bad day, Keith. And I'm going to ask you to reconsider your tweet, Keith. Was I big fan, but come on, mate, we all have bad days, yet you was a cock to the first two callers. Keith, haven't I stood out in the freezing cold to have a picture with you and meet your family? So I'm going to assume, Keith, because I'm a nice guy, that you're having a bad day. Before I hit the block button, I'm going to assume that you're having a bad day. Dear goodness, great. Some people, huh? Isn't it? 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. It's just, you know, I think we're sensing that there is a vibe in the air. There's a dark vibe in the air. Maybe I've got a dark vibe about me. It happens from time to time. But I think there's a vibe in the air. Tonight's show could be one of two things, right? It could be a bit rubbish and nothing quite, like my car reversing out of the drive, nothing quite gets any purchase and it doesn't really go anywhere and we're kind of on the same spot. That's option one. Option B is it could be a real feisty, sparky bastard of a show. It could be one of those. It's kind of up to you whether it's one or whether it's B. It really is. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's like a choose your own adventure book tonight. You decide which way it goes. Is it going to be, you know, an okay kind of show where nothing really clicks? Or is it going to be a slap round the head with a big, thick book? Maybe the Bible, maybe the Quran. 0344 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Set free your mind. Let your fancy take flight. Conversation gets curiouser by the glow of moonlight.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give me a call. Just not sure where to pitch this one tonight. I'm not sure where to pitch it. Do you know what I mean? Don't quite know. And I see that the phones haven't exactly lit up, which is fine. It means that you want me to do a bit more work, which is fine. That's what I get paid for. Don't worry. It's not panic stations yet. It was never panic station. Why would it be panic station? It's only a radio show. Here's the thing about this, that a lot of people who work in this industry and in this building don't get, is that none of this matters. This isn't important. The next 2 hours and 39 minutes, it's not important. It is the most nonsense, pointless, trivial piece of fluff that you could possibly imagine. So if we don't get any callers, and we will, so we've got Barry lined up. We'll go to Barry in a second. If we don't, then you... Well, if I say it, then you might not... OK, if we don't, then you'll just hear me slowly unwinding my mind. And personally, I don't know how interesting that would be, but I kind of get the feeling that some of you would like to hear me unwinding my mind, and maybe we could do that. I could read out bits from my Joseph Fritzl book. I'm reading a book about Fritzl, The Crimes of Joseph Fritzl. It is, he's still like in his 20s, and it's dark. It's dark. Here's an interesting thing. Without Googling it, right? Without Googling it, we all know Joseph Fritzl, right? He's the Austrian fella that sort of built an underground, like a cellar, where he kept one of... I think he had like 7 or 8 kids. Kept one of his kids, one of his daughters, under there for about 20 years or something, and raped her, and they had kids together and stuff like that. Here's the thing. We all know Joseph Fritzl's name. Can you name, without Googling it, the poor, unfortunate woman that was held prisoner, his daughter? Without Googling it, can you name her? And it's weird. Generally, let's put this theory to the test. Now there are calls, and I'm on a roll now. Generally, and this maybe is where society is wrong, we know the names of the killers, particularly if it's he's not a killer, but we know the names of criminals, particularly if they are very twisted, dark, sexual crimes, right? We know the names of the perpetrators. Very rarely do we know the names of the victims. The only one I can think of where I know the name of the victim and I don't know the name of the perpetrator is another Austrian kidnapping story that broke a couple of years before Fritzl did, and that's Natasha Kampusch, who was a prisoner, I think it was 8 years, in Austria. And I don't know the name of the guy that did it, but that's the only one. If you think about it, you know the names of the criminals. There are a few exceptions. Yorkshire Ripper, obviously. Hang on a minute. Don't tell me. Sutcliffe. Peter Sutcliffe. I wanted to say Stuart Sutcliffe, but of course he was the original bass player in the Beatles. So Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper. Okay. Well, okay, an exception would be Ian Huntley, but then I remember the names of Jessica and Holly Wells. So, it's generally the perpetrator, isn't that? Isn't that odd? Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that. Good evening, Barry.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Barry.
Oh, actual pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, man. Nice to speak to you too.
Thanks very much. I've been listening to you for a long time on the radio. That, you know, that's absolutely smashing to talk to you.
Hey, it's nice to talk to you, fella. How long have you been listening for?
Oh, Christ. Well, I'll tell you the truth. Basically, I used to listen to you in the jail. But basically, I'm out now. I'm fresh out of the jail.
Hey, congratulations!
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. And basically, listening to you is since I've got out, the only thing that I kind of find comforting. If that makes any sense, because I used to stay there, and everything's awful confusing and that to me now, and I don't know how to find my place in life.
How long were you inside for?
17 years.
Hey, flipping it, man. That's a long one. And when did you come out?
Last year.
Wow.
Last year.
I bet it is confusing.
It was just like, it was the 90s when I went in. I don't...
Well, now you say that, because the 90s to me feels like 3 or 4 years ago. And then I realised the 90s were like 20 years ago, man.
It's mental, isn't it? Well, obviously I don't...
So when you went in,
aye.
Not everyone had a mobile phone.
No, they did not.
And certainly everyone didn't have the internet in their house.
Oh, God, no, maybe it wasn't all that.
And you've come out into a technological minefield.
It's mental. I don't know what anybody's talking about, to be honest, most of the time. So it's... I know what talk radio is, though.
Yeah,
so
well, that
that's
was...
That's why I can... Yeah. That's always been there. And I find it a bit of comfort, the...
Well, good.
Internet and other... It's a scary world now for me.
Is it?
It is very, very, very scary. It's different from the 90s.
Why does it scare you?
Because I don't know. Well, there's all sorts of things going on now. Like, every time people are talking about current events and hashtags and...
Hashtags.
Me too and no platform. And I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I don't know much.
Remember, I was just into football and Oasis.
Yeah, well... got some bad news on the Oasis front, but let's talk about that later on. Have you got a job? What are you doing?
I am working in a supermarket.
Okay, well, well done.
I'm the oldest one in there, obviously. It's all wee lassies I'm with me. Mm. They're awful nice and that, but I think they must just think I'm the stupid old guy, but I suppose I'm.
Well, no, you've got wisdom that they could only imagine. Well, I'm going to ask the question, Barry, and you don't have to answer it, but 17 years, to Aye. Serve 17 years is a long old sentence. I've got to ask you, what did you do?
I pumped a dog.
You what?
I pumped a dog.
You pumped a dog? Right. You had sex with a dog?
I did.
Oh, Barry, I thought you were a genuine caller for a minute.
Well, I've made one mistake.
Yeah. Oh, for goodness sakes, man. You don't get 17 years for pumping a dog.
Well, I made one mistake several times.
Well, okay. Well, thanks for calling, Barry.
Thanks, Ian.
There we go. That was a good one. I was nearly... I nearly went there. I was suckered in for a bit. That was a good... If you're listening, kids, that's how you do a prank call. That's how you do it. I got a little bit suspicious when he started his examples of what modern culture scared him. Hashtags and no platforming and Me Too. Well, you know, listen, I think the advice, the lesson to learn from that call is just don't pump a dog. No, we're a dog pumping free zone. Yeah, hear me? If you want that kind of filth, go to London's biggest C-words. Is that what they're called? Leading big, what is it? I can't remember. Yeah. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
After hours amusement for anarchists, air hostesses and jet-lagged Antipodeans.
Good night, Cobbers. Can I crash on your floor?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I enjoyed that. Angela.
Hi, Ian. I enjoyed that prank.
Yeah. You ever pumped a dog?
No.
Good. We don't encourage it. We don't condone it. It's very, very naughty.
Very, very naughty.
It's like that old fella that's banned from every farm. You remember this? The story we did last week. Old fella is banned from every single farm in Britain because he likes having it away with cows.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was interesting. I wasn't expecting that noise. That was like you just seen David Gandy take his jeans off. Not David Gandy, Nick Kamen, I mean. Nick Kamen was the guy that took his jeans off, wasn't he?
Yeah, there's some weirdos on this planet, isn't there?
You're telling me, Angela!
Well, while I'm ringing in, have you seen that film, Day After Tomorrow?
The day after... I'm busy then. That's Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm busy Saturday.
I get you. Well, the film Day After Tomorrow.
I would love to go to the pictures with you, Angela, but I'm really going to be busy on Saturday. Thank you for asking, but it would probably be inappropriate as well.
Yeah, that's okay. No worries.
Okay.
But,
so what film are you going to see on Saturday?
Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, Saturday. What film are you going to see?
I don't know. There is a good film that's come up, but I can't remember what it was called now.
Okay. The Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm not allowed to go because I've got shingles.
Oh, no! Quarantine.
Yeah.
It could be because there's too much electricity in your house.
Probably. Probably, couldn't it?
Do you buy this thing? Some people claim that... in fact, the guy that was on Howard Hughes the other day, but some people claim... that electricity and Wi-Fi makes them sick.
Don't know, do you?
Well, science says no, but these people, small in number but powerful in voice, are adamant that it does have a negative impact on them.
Would you like me to look into it for you, Ian?
I would love you to look into it. I'm going to consider you my electricity and Wi-Fi sickness correspondent.
No worries, I can...
That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. I knew we'd get there. Right, that's it. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. We're going to hand out correspondent jobs this evening. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. So, right, we're going to write these down, and these will go on my website. So, Angela...
Mm-hmm.
You are the electricity. I can't speak. Electricity and Wi-Fi sickness correspondent. Okay, and that means if ever we're doing a story or talking about electricity or Wi-Fi or anything like that, you have to phone up and give us the latest stats. It means you've got to listen to every single show all the way through. Can you do that?
I could do that.
Yeah. You have to phone up and give us all the facts and the information about electricity and Wi-Fi sickness.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll give it a good look into.
Okay,
I'll ask one of my technical friends and engineering family.
And your bullshit friends, yeah. You wanted to talk about a film where snow happens.
Yeah. Day After Tomorrow.
I'm not on Saturday. Could you do it now?
Yes, I could do it.
Okay, go on then. What's the film called?
Well, it's where
I'm the new Abbott and Costello. I'm both Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, I remember them. They were brilliant, weren't they?
They certainly were, Stanley.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
But it's out. We got really bad snow here for change.
Yeah, there's snow pretty much everywhere, although central London is now boringly, you know, it's grey sludge. But here's the problem with the snow is that the cars get filthy because of the grit everywhere. And you've got to keep your water dispenser, your windscreen water dispenser bottle stocked up.
Yeah.
Public service announcement.
And do you keep a bottle of water near your bed so you don't get dehydrated?
Not to clean my windscreen, no.
Anyway.
Sucez ma peine?
Pardon?
Just trying out some French.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, nor do I, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I. A French boy told me to say it on the radio, and I suspect he's now laughing on the other side of his face.
Is that a swear word, you reckon?
Face isn't a swear word, no. So, tell me about this film. What's it called?
Day After Tomorrow.
Well, like I say, if we could talk about it now, because you're here, it just seems sensible to do it now.
Well, it's just like, it was just like a change of weather where all the snow came and practically the planet was full of snow and the pollution, it needed to kill the pollution off in the air. And I don't know if that's happening now.
Oh, what? The snow, hang on, you think the snow is what killing the people off?
No, the pollution in the air, like all the rubbish that's up there. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely possible. Well, the pollution... Hang on a minute. No, the pollution is killing people.
Yeah, but the snow came along and cleared the atmosphere.
Oh, did it? Is that what happened in that film?
Yeah.
All I remember is, right, it was really, really exciting, and then they got stuck in a museum library, and then, like... So, in the day after tomorrow, it snowed a lot. And then the day after tomorrow, it melted. Like that. It was like, oh, this could be the end of the world. Oh, no, hang on, it's all right now. But that got rid of the pollution, did it?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to then.
Yeah, well, let's...
Well, it's the bad. We should have a bad winter to kill off all the bugs so we don't get too sick.
Yes.
Mm.
Well, some bugs need cold to kill them off, and some bugs... need hot to kill them off. So, what are we supposed to do?
I don't know.
I just don't know.
No.
I just don't know.
Well, perhaps it ought to balance itself out.
You would think so.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Angela.
No worries. Thanks for chat.
Tutty bye. 0344 499 1000. We're going to give away, and I haven't done this for about 12 years, we're going to give away correspondent slots tonight. That means you will be the official. And here's the difference from when I did it before. When I did it before, it was solely you were the correspondent for my show. Okay? You are not just the late night alternative correspondent, not even just the talk radio correspondent. You're the radio and television phone-in correspondent for that thing. By the way, we need a radio and television phone-in correspondent, and that job's going. But, for example, if Angela was... imagine Angela was in a horrific car crash, OK? Horrific. And it took, like, 8 hours to cut her out of the car, right? And towards the end of her horrific stay, where, unfortunately, she would lose the sight in one eye and possibly a limb, she couldn't turn up the radio off, and it was stuck on talk radio, and she was, you know, in so much pain, but the pain was made worse because at 6:30 Julia Hartley Brewer would come on, and she was forced to listen to it, and she'd be going to the fire brigade, please turn the radio off, and they said we can't, if we turn the radio off the whole car could shift and it will kill you, and she's going, please, I don't care, please turn it off. And and Julia Hartley Brewer was talking about electricity and Wi-Fi sickness. Well, on the way to the hospital, in the back of the ambulance, Angela would have to phone up and comment on it. Likewise, if she was watching, like, Jesus Christ, I don't know, the Victoria Derbyshire show, or This Morning, And Philip Schofield was talking about electricity and Wi-Fi sickness. You'd have to phone up this morning. So it's a big responsibility, these correspondent roles. We do not expect you to take them lightly, OK? 03. And no, don't tweet him for it or text him for it. Shows you're a, I want to say a Wazzock, but I don't think that is it. Anyway, 033, what is it? 03, that's it. 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with that man, Ian Lee. There's no strangers here, just friends you haven't stalked on Facebook yet.
Have never sent my picture to anyone who didn't request it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes.
Jesus. So I've just tweeted, right? I hate people. So I've just tweeted. Giving away correspondent jobs right now. So far we have Angela as the electricity and Wi-Fi sickness correspondent. Want in? Call 03444991000. We call you back. Mark's just replied. Wi-Fi sickness isn't a thing, though, question mark. Here's the thing about these skeptics with a K. They've got no sense of humour. They've got zero sense of humour at all. Susie Cream Cheese. Hello, Susie.
Oh, no, it's Phoebe, sorry.
It's who?
Phoebe.
Oh, Phoebe. Sorry. Phoebe Catherine. Catherine's now... Phoebe! It's Phoebe! What you got
you
for
see,
us, Phoebe?
I was, like, getting, like, so, like, nervous in my voice that probably it turned into that.
Uh-oh. It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's only a name. Who cares? I had to remind my six-year-old today what his middle names were. I said his full name. He went, "Who's that?" I said, "It's you." He said, "Oh, are those my middle names?" I said, "Yes, they blooming well are, young man." Anyway, Phoebe, what you got for us?
So you were talking about victims and the fact that they're not recognised.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so, like, I have one which is, like, really quite prevalent.
Okay, go on.
And it comes from Japan, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Junko Furuta.
Who, what, where, when, why?
She actually was the same age as me when she died. She was 17 years old, and she died in November of 22nd of 1989.
Yeah. I don't know this case. I'm not that hot on Japanese murders, I don't think. Unless this... Go on, tell me more.
And she died very nasty. There was four attackers, and they kidnapped her, and they did really awful things to her. You can search her up, because some of the stuff is not suitable for radio.
No, of course, thank you, and I appreciate you holding back a little bit. I must admit, I hadn't heard of this. Why, how did you hear about it, and why did it strike a note with you, apart from obviously being incredibly gruesome and horrific?
I found her out from YouTube, really.
Yeah.
Where everything comes from. And I just felt like it's one of those types of cases that when you look at it, you kind of go, you will never forever forget about it.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Why, Why did you... I mean, that's a bizarre rabbit hole to stumble down
on
YouTube.
Exactly, but that's the type of stuff that I love so much.
Oh, you said you love it!
I go down that rabbit hole a lot.
Really?
You know, that's where I want to go in my sector, in jobs and stuff.
What, you want to be a murderer?
Not a murderer.
No.
Forensic psychologist.
Okay, right, fine, we've got that. Okay, so... because I'm reading this book about Joseph Fritzl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to regret it, because the worst book I have ever read in my life, without a shadow of a doubt, was the book about Fred and Rose West. There's several, but there's one in particular, white cover, and it I wish I'd never read it because, and I couldn't put it down, but I wish I'd read it. It went into the most graphic descriptions of what those two got up to.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably love it.
You see, it's like that, and also kind of like, you know, PIF, Perfect Information Films.
Yeah,
like there's loads that are on this radio station, and I'm like, yeah, there's better ones out there.
No, exactly. The ones, the films they used to show in the 70s. Were terrifying. What's the one where they're playing in a farm? We've talked about it on it before. It's called like Sabotage or Apache or
Apache. That one.
Was it called?
Yeah, that one. I can't say it.
Go on. Apache.
That one.
That's it. Yeah. And it's these kids playing on a farm, and it's about 25 minutes long. And they, yeah. One by one, they all get picked off in horror. Like, one falls into a septic tank, one is crushed by rusty old machinery. Oh, it's horrendous! And they would show that to us as kids in the 70s!
Yeah, I think there was also another one. It was, like, with electricity. Talking about electricity, the one with the frisbee.
Yep.
And they would throw it in, and they would try to grab it.
Yeah.
Be froze, like, completely frazzled.
Yeah. And that's the world you want to get into, Phoebe.
I know.
You're a terrible human being. Okay. Well, so what do you need to study for that then? Criminal psychology, I guess.
Yeah, psychology, biology.
Yeah.
I'm doing chemistry and then also doing law as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I would like to put you on with like some of our listeners, and you could criminally deconstruct them. But I think they might be too nuts for you. Nuts is not a politically correct term, but you know. I think. All right. Let me phrase it better. I think they might be too gaga for you. Well, I wish you the very best of luck with your studies.
Yeah, wasn't able to do any today because of the snow.
Well, hang on. So, you couldn't open a book because of the snow?
No, we couldn't get to college because of the
right.
snow.
Right. No. Hang on. You said you couldn't do any studies, and that study you could have read a book. You could have gone online and watched another horrible Japanese murder. Could have done any of those things. And what did you do instead? You drank hot chocolate. And you watch the box set of Orange County or 30-something. Is that what kids are watching these days? I don't really know.
Kind of like that.
Twilight. You watch the Twilight saga.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Well, nice one, Phoebe. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jane. Good evening, Jane.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Jane. What you got for us?
Well, I used to be a forensic scenes crime officer for the police.
Oh, what's going on? This is incredible.
Yeah, and there are lots of things you can see that you don't want to see.
And
you can't unsee them. So, like reading that book, the Fred West one. I've read that myself.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
It's a very unpleasant book. Yeah.
Why are we? Here's the thing, and I've often thought about this. Why, you know, the biggest grossing movies are generally about murders.
Yes.
The most popular TV shows are about murders.
Yeah.
And I wondered why we were so enamoured with really grisly, horrible, quite often sexually motivated murders, be they, you know, fictional or true. We love it.
And it's weird, isn't it? Because when you actually deal with it, it's not really something that's that pleasant.
No. I wonder if it's, like, locked down deep in our DNA.
Yeah, I think possibly it is. It's animal instinct, isn't it? And we always... It's like when you drive past a car accident, you all look at the...
Yep.
You know, so...
When and you must have seen... And I don't even want to go there, but you must have seen some incredible things, right? Really horrific, upsetting things. How do you decompress after that?
Well, when I first started, you kept it to yourself because it was very much not talked about.
Yeah.
And women were new to the job, and civilians were new to the job, so you didn't discuss it too much with anybody. But now you have team talks and fun with your colleagues, and you have sort of, I don't know, what would you call it, a debrief type thing. But it does play on your mind, and I think years later it can damage you, without a doubt. And it needs to be handled carefully. Because we're all very soft. The people I know who do my job, some of the girls are glamorous, they could be models, and yet they go in amongst all this gore, and they come out the other side, and they've done a damn good job. But I do think it does affect you, but I do think it's fascinating nonetheless. That's why I did it for a career.
And what exactly was your job? So you would go in, and there had, you know, for example, there's a dead body, and you know, there's a dagger in the stomach. What would you practically have to do once you got there?
Well, we'd probably start with photographing the scene and videoing the scene, and then you'd have to examine the body to see if there's any more damage on it.
And you'd get right up close, and you'd be going over every inch of the body.
Yeah, one of us would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to try and stand at the back and be just keep out of it, but no, you do. You have to get involved, and it's quite harrowing, but. Yeah. We're all softies. We've all love animals. We're all really gooey people. So it seems, you know, it is a bizarre career for us, the people that did it, a great bunch of people.
And how long did you do? You say you don't do it anymore. I imagine that for something like that, there's got to be a shelf life where it's one point there's a build up of horrible things you see, and then you go, you know what, that's my limit. I'm off now.
Yeah. There are a few that do go off like that, but it's in your blood. I don't know. It's addictive. I mean, I'm medically retired thanks to MS, a bit like your mum.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I can't put it down. The books I read are criminal books. It's the Fred West books, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The Soham murders and that sort of thing.
Isn't that interesting?
It's very hard giving it up because you see something going on locally and you're not party to it anymore. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's under that tape, you know, behind the scene tape.
So when you see a bit of tarpaulin, you know, and a taped-off area, you start salivating.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, no, my tongue is slightly in my cheek, but also I mean it. You know, it's, you know, it's when I see someone with some exciting radio equipment, I go, oh, let me have a little look at that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that thing that floats our boat.
Talk radio. Yeah. Well, I think it's difficult because it doesn't, I don't know, it's just you want to get in there, you want to know what's happened, you want to see what's happened, you want to work out. And the pleasure when you find and catch someone for something, it is very, very rewarding.
Thank you for your years of service and, you know, catching the bad guys. It's appreciated.
Yeah, and we also prove people are innocent. We weren't there just to prove...
Oh, forget those losers. Forget the innocents. Who cares about those guys? Well, good for you. Well done. And thank you. And seriously, we've only got 30 seconds left. I've got to go to the break. But quickly, how's your MS going? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fighting it. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Jane.
All right, mate.
Thanks for calling. We'll speak again.
Okay, bye.
Ta-ta, bye-bye. Wow, isn't she fascinating, huh? There we go. I knew it was absolutely fascinating. I always wonder about the coppers that have to watch... The films of child rape that we call child porn, the poor souls that have to sit and watch that, the impact that must have on them. Maybe we'll talk about that a bit later on. After 11, though, fun, light, sunshine, music and laughter. Mr. Stephen Page, who's been in this studio and I absolutely love. He's coming back to the UK and we've got the first interview with him to talk about it. And we're giving away some tickets.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Cities in view as usual.
usual, I'm almost on time. You're the last thing that's on my mind. Wish I could tell the way that I feel, but tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel. No commotion, no screaming breaks. Most of it's over before I awake. From the ceiling, my coffee cup drips, while out my window, the horizon dust flips. The worst part was hitting the ground. Not the feeling so much as the sound. Can't help but wonder if all this is real, 'cause tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel. Rubberneck traffic and passers-by, slow-motion Walter, the fire engine guy. Stand around with their mouths open wide. Heard some idiot ask if someone's inside. With the jaws of life, they tried and they tried. There's something serene. I'm just a posthumous part of the scene. Now I'm floating above, looking in as the radio blares and wheels spin. I can see my face slumped with a grin, and you're the last thing on my.
Isn't it? That is some song, isn't it? That's the Bare Naked Ladies. Tonight is the night I fell asleep at the wheel. And of course, sung by, written by Mr. Stephen Page. Good evening, Stephen.
Hey, Ian, how are you?
I'm fine. I have now, I have a message from your the lovely PR lady, Cynthia, who's been sorting this out. She said, please remind Stephen to speak directly into the phone. Is this a habit? Is this a habit that you have?
I don't know. But I'm speaking directly into the phone, so I'm now aware. Good. I'm much more body aware at this moment.
Good. Be
happy with it.
Be body conscious, but in a good way. Not, there's no shaming going on here. We don't body shame, but I just want you to focus.
I do that myself.
Yeah, well, we all do that ourselves. It's got to be said, that's some song. I'm going to say either the first or the second best song about a fatal car crash. The first, I would suggest, is Detroit Rock City by Kiss. But that's some song, man. I remember
you would put this ahead of Dead Man's Curve.
Does he die in Dead Man's Curve, or is it an horrific prediction of what actually happened to Jan?
Good point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I would put that in the near fatal top 10.
Right.
Yours is definitely in the fatal top 5, right, of all time.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, man, it's so nice to talk to you, and it's so nice to talk to you because you're coming back to the United Kingdom. This is incredible.
It's actually happening.
So you came over last year for your first ever solo tour, and I know you had your friends with you, but it's the first time you toured mm-hmm. without the Bare Naked Ladies. Were you surprised by the affection that was there for you?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was hoping that people would come, but mm-hmm. Those were special shows, like for the three of us too, like in the trio. You know, it's not Craig or Kevin's group, and I think they were just as blown away as I was with how people responded to those shows. Mm. So I, you know, couldn't wait to come back.
They were magical. We came and saw you. Me and Kath came and saw you in Luton, and I can't even remember what the song was, but it was such a spellbinding performance when you put the microphone down. And you wandered around this wonderful venue, you know, crooning us acoustically. Oh, it was incredible, man.
Thank you. Yeah, that was Break Your Heart. You're the one who set me up with that awesome club, so thank you for that.
Oh, well, no, that's my friend Adam that runs that. It's a beautiful place. And you're playing some beautiful places as well this time, including my favourite venue, the Union Chapel in London, which is just perfect for the three of you.
Great. I mean, that's what I've been dreaming about going there because people have been telling me for years it's where we should be playing. So finally we get to do that.
Have you seen it? Have you been there before?
I've only seen like video of other people performing there.
Mate, it's insane. It's a church, you know, and I've seen Belle and Sebastian, Michael Nesmith, and bizarrely I saw Elton John there, but we don't talk about that. And it was, it's a church and it's got the acoustics of a church and the three of you are going to sound incredible in there.
Maybe we should record that one.
Mate, record it. Record it. I'll help you. I'll find some. Well, let's record it.
Let's do that now.
Right, so this is happening in August, right? And by the way, dear listener, we have got two pairs of tickets to give away. All you've got to do is phone up and say you want a pair of tickets for all of the shows, except for Dublin or Brighton. So I'm going to read out some venues. Dublin or Brighton, we haven't got pairs of tickets to give away. I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with those guys down there, but... If I say a town or a venue that's near you, first two people that phone up and say, I want a pair of tickets for that. I'm a tightwad. I can't be bothered to put my hand in my pocket and hand over dollar to struggling singer-songwriters. I want them for free, goddammit, because it's 2018 and all music should be free. Then you can do that. 0344 499 1000. These are the dates. Starting on Tuesday, the 7th of August, Bristol at Fleece. I don't know what Fleece is. Wednesday, the 8th of August in Liverpool at the Arts Club. Friday, the 10th of August at the Union Chapel in London. Saturday, here come the freeloaders. Saturday, the 11th in Holmfirth at the Picturedrome. Monday, the 13th at Belfast in the Empire Music Hall. The 14th of August in Dublin. At Whelan's, I'll tweet all these out as well. Don't worry, listeners. We'll make sure you know where to go. The 16th of August in Edinburgh at the Queen's Hall, which is stunning. And the 16th of August is Edinburgh. 17th of August is in Glasgow at Oranmore. And, you know, great venues. Is it going to be kind of the same kind of vibe as before, Stephen? Or what are you thinking? Or is this too far ahead to even think about that?
It'll be the trio again. So myself and Craig North again, Kevin Fox.
Yeah.
And Kevin and Craig are also going to be the support act.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so it'll be really nice because they're, I think people, especially people who came to see us last time and kind of got to know them a little bit, to be able to hear them do their stuff, both separately and together, will be pretty special. And otherwise, there'll be some new material. Because I'm hoping to have part two of Heal Thyself out by then.
Oh, this is what I was going to say. There's going to be a new album. Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm working my butt off right now. I have some deadlines.
Oh. Are you a good deadline person? Because that's what I need, deadlines, otherwise I can't do it. I'm always 2 days after the deadline, but I need that deadline.
That's exactly me. I can't do it without a deadline. I mean, I can have ideas gestating for a long time, but to actually get the work done, I need that deadline and then the disappointment of just missing it.
Indulge me for 1 second. You talk about Kevin Fox, and I thought Kevin was such a delightful gentleman. He was the cellist, and he gave me and Kath a copy of his album. Now, quite often, when someone gives you a copy of the album, you go, oh, yeah, sure, thanks. But I played it on the way home that night. It was incredible. His album, the Songs for Cello and Voice, is incredible. Dear listener, just indulge me for a second. Have a listen to a little bit of this. This is, where are you going to play now, computer? This is Kevin Fox. Here we go. Just him on the cello.
Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? Travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you.
Honestly, I'm going to play all of that after midnight. He's got like an echo repeat box. Play all of that after midnight. Kevin Fox is incredible. I mean, they both are, but that album is stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, he's really great. And I've been playing with Kevin since, like, this basically the second that I left Bare Naked Ladies. I called Kevin and asked him if he would play with me.
Yeah.
So it's been, 9 years I was playing together. So it's really special.
Right, okay.
You know what? He told me that he has a kind of a man crush on you. And
no!
A real crush on Kath.
I said exactly the same thing to Kath, that I had a bit of a man crush on him. We might become friends, except I suspect we're both too shy to make that first move. So, Stephen, you've got to be our go-between. Tell him that I fancy him, please.
I will absolutely tell him. As soon as I'm done this, I'm texting him.
Nice one, man. Thank you. I always try and avoid talking about the Bare Naked Ladies with you because I guess you must have been asked about them a million times. And what is there new to say?
I was in the group for 20 years.
I know you were in there for a while. You did a couple of good tunes with them. But I've got to ask you because the internet has gone. It's not gone quite into meltdown, but it's certainly got a little bit fuzzy around the edges, because the Bare Naked Ladies, who are one of my top three bands of all time, love them, there's everything wonderful, are going to be inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame. When is that happening?
So it's at the Juno Awards, which are the Canadian Music Awards, at the end of, I think it's March 25th.
March 25th. And so the band are going to be there. And is it right that you're going to be there?
That's the deal. So they're inducting the band and me with the band all at the same time. So we're going to have to spend some time in the same room together, it's been the first time in a long time. But I've actually been corresponding with the other guys for the first time in years, which has been weird and nice at the same time.
Okay. If I pry too much, tell me to jog on. I'm a fanboy. Is it going to be? No, it won't be. Well, it'll be weird for about 30 seconds in the room, and then it'll be like hugs and back slaps and going back to kind of old jokes, won't it? That's what I like to imagine.
That's certainly what I'd like to imagine. That's what I hope, and I think that's definitely the case. I think that's what we're all hoping for.
All right, I've got to ask two questions.
Doesn't mean I'm rejoining the group, but it might be nice to be able to be pleasant and to celebrate all the good stuff we did together.
Okay. Well, I have to ask. Will you be playing any songs with them?
That hasn't been determined is the official answer.
Got a tiny, tiny little bone.
Does that
here.
Tell you anything?
Yeah, I've got a little boner, Stephen. That's just a little one. I've got a semi. It's forming. I tell you why, right? Because I know you know rock history, and I know rock history, and I read bands, books about bands, and I just... You remember when Kiss did the MTV Unplugged with... It was Gene and Paul, and they had Eric Carr and Bruce Kulick, and then right at the end, they went, we want to bring out a couple of members of the family. Here's Ace Frehley and Peter Criss, right? And those guys came out, and you could see the dollar signs, literally see dollar signs in Gene Simmons' eyes as he's thinking, reunion, reunion. You know, the internet.
Well, he trademarked those dollar signs.
He did trademark the dollar sign. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, the Teenage Fan Club album was his.
Yeah, this is true. This is a brilliant bit of trivia. He owns the dollar sign. He owns that. It's incredible. all right. I'm just going to ask the fanboy question, and then we'll let it go. Is there any chance that this could be your Kiss MTV Unplugged, and that you guys might go, "Hey, that was fun. Do you want to come and do a show with us?"
I am not closed off to that opportunity. I mean, let's see how it goes. We, you know, have a little visitation, see how we actually enjoy each other. I think, you know, honestly, for them, it must be difficult because,
yeah,
you know, they've kept the name, and like if we were to do a reunion tour and then I go back to my thing and they go back to their thing, like they have to live up to that in
yeah.
a way.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what they would think. I'm trying to see it through their eyes, but they may also be thinking, I don't want to do anything with him again.
I just for the record, it was Stephen Page that said the phrase reunion tour. I didn't say that. He said that. Hey, listen, man, I love you. I love you so much. And, you know, I want you guys to do whatever makes you guys happy. Of course, I'd love to see you playing with them. But also, you know, if that vibe isn't there, that vibe isn't there. But I'm really, really excited that you are coming back to the UK in August. We've got people. Can people stop? Sorry, I should have said this about 10 minutes ago. Stop phoning in now, because we've got people, I think. Let me just go to David. Hello, David.
Hello.
Would you like a pair of tickets to see Stephen Page?
Oh, I would absolutely love a pair of tickets.
Well, then why don't you go and buy a pair of tickets? I'm joking. Where would you? Which show would you like to go and see?
Union Chapel.
Oh.
Oh. I would also. Uh-oh. I want to take the credit for Stephen doing the gig at the Union Chapel.
Oh, hang on a
now,
minute.
I know Stephen said he's known about that place for years, but me and my wife Carolyn went to see him at Bush Hall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we were having a chat to Stephen afterwards.
Yeah.
And to the tour manager, I think it was the tour manager, a lady.
Yeah.
And we told her that he has to play there.
Oh, yeah. So you're claiming credit for you, David, because the interview
I'm going to give you both the credit and the tickets.
Hang on a minute. Interviewed you, Stephen, when you came over on holiday before you even did your first tour. And I said you should play the Union Chapel. I want credit.
Don't tell David. Okay. She hadn't heard of it, and she wrote it down.
Oh,
so she must have looked it up after it.
David, well, in that case, I'll let you have the credit. David, I'll see you there, because me and Kath are going to be there. Well, if you see us, come and say hello.
I will do.
Stay online.
Excellent.
Kath will speak to you and get all your details. And, Chris, you've got the other pair of tickets. Which show did you want, my friend? Oh, Chris? Chris! Yeah, hello?
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well for me. Did you want a pair of tickets, or are you just ordering a drink?
Yeah, for Glasgow, please. That'd be absolutely brilliant.
You've got a pair of tickets for Glasgow. Fantastic, man. Just stay on the phone, speak to Kath, and we'll sort out how we get them to you.
Absolutely brilliant. Stephen, you'll probably remember me from Jackson Triggs when the lights went out.
Oh, hang on a minute.
That was a pretty great gig. I like it when the power goes out, because then I get to sing like acoustically, and if I was losing the audience at all, it's the way to get them back.
Pull the plug out.
Man, we spoke about Gil guitars, my favourite guitar.
Stephen, I do apologise. I think we may be giving the tickets to a stalker, and it's legally binding now. We have to let a madman into your Glasgow gig in August.
That's fine. I'm happy that two different people who actually heard of my music and don't and like it actually want the free tickets.
Chris, listen, man, stay on the line. Speak to Cass. She will get your details. I'll tweet all these again. I think tickets go on sale tomorrow. I think.
Tomorrow morning.
It's 7th of August, starts off in Bristol through to the 18th of August in Nottingham. And we've got London, Dublin, Belfast, Edinburgh, Liverpool. All of that is in between. Stephen, if you can make it work, you'd all be invited into the studio any time you wanted, brother. We'd be very happy to have you. And, you know, keep in touch and we'll keep plugging away for you.
You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. So nice to talk to you. Stephen Page there. We will tweet those details out. I'm going to be at the Union Chapel. It's such a good venue. Just such a good venue. 0344 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, 03444991000. Boyley, forget them. Come in. I need to talk to you. Forget them. I'll take calls straight to air for a bit. I need to talk to you. This is too important to. This is too important. Come and sit down. There's totally going to be a Bare Naked Ladies reunion. There's totally going to be a reunion. I called it. He was unusually coy,
wasn't he?
No, I thought he was unusually forthcoming about that. He's the one that used the phrase reunion tour. He said reunion tour. I didn't mention the R word. I never said the R word. I thought I was going to ask him about it, and he'd go, no, we're not playing. We're just going to be there. And it'd be nice to see him, but that'll be it. But he said they've not decided whether they're going to play yet. Well, that means they're going to play. That means they're going to play together. That means they're going to do 1 week, $1 million. He's not ruled out doing a reunion tour with them. Flipping heck! Now, I know, guys, to most of you, you're going, Ian, it's just the Bare Naked Ladies. No. These guys are one of my favourite bands, right? And you may notice sometimes, a couple of times, I've taken a couple of nights off to go and see bands and acts play. And Stephen Page is the reason I've done that. Because years ago, when I worked at another radio station, Stephen and Tyler, the drummer from Bare Naked Ladies, came in on like a Wednesday, and we had a really good interview, and they said, are you going to come to the show on Friday? And I said, oh, no, I can't. I'm working, right? And it was one of those things I thought, but they'll be back in a couple of years. I'll see them then. And, of course, that was the last time he played in the UK with the band. And it was 11, 12 years ago. And it was a real, oh, no, what have I done? So ever since then, whenever there's like a band that I feel very strongly that I want to go and see, I'm quite happy. My priority is life experience over this job, which is a great job, and I love it. I'm the luckiest person in the world. But there's a band, and you just never know if you're going to see them again. I'm off to see them.
Yeah, and so it's not just the old guys, because a lot of the people you like are getting on.
They're all going to die, and the Beach Boys are going to die soon.
But yeah, you've got to bear in mind people fall out, so I don't blame you.
The anniversary today or yesterday, it was the 29th of February that he died, David Jones dying. 6 years. 6 years. And again, I saw them at the Royal Albert Hall in 2011, and I had a backstage, not backstage, I had meet and greet tickets afterwards, and I couldn't stick around for it because I had to go to Absolute. I had a really good reason, actually. The Curricorda Quartet were rocking up, so it was a night of insane and intense music. But, you know, Davey died not long after that, and it was one of those, oh man, I only met him once, briefly.
Was that in the toilet?
That was in the toilet, yeah. Yes. And, but here's what I'm getting from. First of all, right? We'll play the Kevin Fox. Kevin Fox, that's his name, isn't it? Yeah. We'll play the Kevin Fox song now, right? Because it's blooming good. Play that in a second. This is this cellist. Did you listen? You got the album, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh man, the album is just. There are some albums, right? And it's just loads of different songs all jammed together, right? And there's no consistency. But that album is like. A Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock when it's drizzling outside album, right? And normally for me that's something like Nick Drake or Dylan now, but it's a mood. That whole album creates a mood, and it is wonderful. We'll play it in a second. I noticed it's funny because this is recorded live. This Sweet Dreams, and he's got a really intricate set up in front of him, loads of effects pedals, and he's obviously the first bit he plucks, and then he hits a repeat thing, so it's repeating, so he can sing and thing over the top, and he's brilliant. So go and see Stephen Page play with as a trio, because it's great. And honestly, the Union, you've not been to the Union Chapel?
No, I haven't.
It is such an incredible venue. It's one of those venues you're lucky, you feel blessed to have. Is it Ghostbusters 2? Okay. It's low-quality Ghostbusters 2.
Can you phone Ricardo back from there? Because I did promise him.
Yeah, I fucking phone him back. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. I'll phone him in a second.
Yeah.
Stay there, Ricardo. I'll play a song and then I'll phone you back. So go and see him. Right, Union Chapel is great. Those other venues, some of them I don't know, some of them I've heard of, and it's going to be great. It's slightly bigger than the venues before. So if you saw him on the previous tour, and this is what I thought, you've got to get him for that first tour because he doesn't realise how loved he is. So he's going to play small venues, right? And these are bigger venues. But go and see it because it's so great. And he does loads of Bare Naked Lady songs. He does loads of solo songs, and it's very funny. They mess around, you know, not like the Monkees or something, but they do like musical jokes. It's funny, man. It's an entertaining couple of hours.
They're very warm, you know, obviously good friends. Yeah. It's a delight to be in their company.
They're great. But here's what I took away from that interview. The Bare Naked Ladies are getting back together. I called it here first, guys. I called it here first. Part of me, because now I've gone nuts, right? Now I'm having my midlife crisis, which is basically me living in a flat on my own for the first time ever and buying loads of CDs and electrical gadgets that you see me get, thinking they will solve a problem. They don't, and I send them back the next day. But also I'm booking, you know, I've booked two shows in America, in New York, in June, the end of June, late June, to see Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz. And one I paid like $75, $100. And one I've bought VIP tickets for $350. You don't really get a lot more for that. I'm in the second row. Anyway, so I'm doing that. And I'm probably going to go to New York for maybe 4 or 5 days and see if I can make a little film about Imani Coppola. That's the idea I've got. I'm not spoken to her about it. I'm talking to her about releasing an album at the moment. But now part of me is thinking, well, if the Bare Naked Ladies are going to play at these Juno Awards, I mean, maybe I should go. Maybe I should go. Sorry. That's at the end of this month. Right, let me play this song. Then we will have we'll have a little early break, and then we'll phone Ricardo. How's about that? So this is Kevin Fox. At the moment, he plays, well, he does, he's in various different groups and plays on his own. He plays with Stephen Page, and he's absolutely brilliant. We should get him in one night as well, just on his own. Forget Stephen. Forget that guy.
Who?
He's done so many interviews. I mean, what new stuff are you going to squeeze out of him? This Kevin Fox. We'll squeeze all the dirt out of him. This is from his album Songs for Cello and Voice, and is just stunning.
Keep your head up. everybody's looking for something. Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? Travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something.
Isn't it though? Isn't it? He's brilliant, man.
Such a nice bloke as well.
Yeah. Oh, he's brilliant. Oh, well, well done, Kevin. Nice work, Kevin. Nice work, Kevin. Well done. As I was watching that, I remembered Gene Simmons doesn't own the dollar logo. He doesn't own it.
Stephen Page lied to us.
No. I've remembered this. He owns like dollar bags. You know the bags with the dollar signs on?
Right.
He owns that copyrighted image. So if you, I'm sure of this, Google it.
Like American swag bags.
Yeah, American swag bags. Right, so I'm going to draw.
I know exactly what you mean.
Right. Right. I'd have to pay Gene Simmons money for drawing that. I've just drawn that. You probably can't see it. Oh, there you go. I'd have to pay Gene Simmons from Kiss. Dollar. For that!
I've just found, the first thing I've found is on Vice.com. All the dumb SH1T Gene Simmons has tried to trademark.
He owns SH1T as well, I think.
Nude Car Wash, International Fight Club and ?
Oh, Gene Simmons is an idiot.
He is.
He is. He's obnoxious, actually.
Apparently he's been banned from the studios at Fox News.
Really, why?
You're chasing women.
Good, good. I saw him do unspeakable things to Eloise, which is our producer, and I should have said something. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Well, he's been busted.
03444991000. Ricardo, we'll call you back after this. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
I'm calling Ricardo now.
This is the Vodafone voicemail service for O77.
Whoa!
For none of your business.
For none of your flipping business. You are, Catherine.
Yes.
It has to be said. Very, very unsteady on your feet. At the best of times.
Yeah.
The number of times I have been out, we've gone out for a meal or gone out for a little walk before the show and you've fallen on your arse.
Just out of nowhere.
Just suddenly you're there and then you're not there. And I mean, I have to look down anyway when I talk to you because you're just under 5 foot. But you just go on the floor and it doesn't seem to hurt. You seem fine with it and you get up.
I've got plenty of bounce.
Okay. I wondered how you'd been getting on because it's very, very icy out there. Very icy.
I've got snow boots.
Have you?
I brought them.
Really?
Yeah, do you want to see them?
No. Why? What? Yeah, sure. I mean, the answer to that was yes. I do. Snow boots.
I can't walk in these. I've got work shoes and snow boots.
Well, I'd take my shoes off when I come. I've got walking shoes. All shoes are walking shoes, really, apart from tap shoes. Do you want to get Josh and give him a call back? Thank you. But I come into work, I take my shoes off. Why would you not? Why would you not want to do that? I mean, really. Isn't it cold though? It's so cold. It's so cold. I have to go back to the flat tonight, and I've not been there for a couple of days, and it's going to be bloody freezing. I tell you what's happening tomorrow on my YouTube channel if you want to watch. When I can be bothered to get up, I'm going to be streaming me playing. Oh, they're like moon boots.
Yeah, moon boots.
Okay, but okay, moon boots.
Yeah, I don't fall over in these. They're quite tready.
Okay, I'm going to be streaming tomorrow afternoon, lunchtime, whenever I wake up. Not going to go to the gym tomorrow. Stuff that. Me playing with a virtual reality headset on my PlayStation.
Make sure you move anything breakable out of the way.
No, cause... I'm going to be juggling knives at the same time. I'm going to be playing that so you'll be able to watch the game, and also I'm going to have the camera on me as well, so you'll be able to see me looking a little bit like the Lawnmower Man. That's the look I'll be going for. I'll be trying to capture the Jeff Fahey. That's the guy from the Lawnmower Man. I'll be trying to recreate that. I haven't got.
Does he knock things over?
No, he was like had learning difficulties, and then when he became the Lawnmower Man and went into the virtual reality, Pierce Brosnan's virtual reality, which try and trademark that. He became not just his learning difficulties were removed, but he became like hyper intelligent.
Oh, so there's just, hope for you.
He had no middle... I'm going to ignore that because that's actually offensive. He had no middle ground. There was no middle ground for Jeff Fahey in the Lawnmower Man. Lawnmower Man 2, I don't know. I didn't see it. Good evening, Josh.
Hello there.
Can you turn whatever... turn your radio off, please, Josh. Okay.
On your phone.
Josh. Let's call Josh back. Josh bottled it. Yeah. Josh has bottled it.
He deviated from his script.
Welcome to GifGaff's voicemail.
He's on GifGaff.
Josh can't take your call at the moment. Please leave your message after the tone.
I've got a message.
You can re-record your message by pressing hash at any time.
Josh, I've got a message for you, Josh. This is Ian Lee from Talk Radio, and I just want to say... I think I'm on GifGaff, and quite often I turn on my phone and get a message and it says, the next message is 4 minutes long. So I was trying to be northern there. So we'll just let this play out for the whole... Welcome to GifGaff. The next message is 4 minutes long.
What are you doing?
Trying to do a northern accent. Yeah, that's enough of that. Hemo!
Yo!
Yo!
What games are you going to play on your PSVR?
Well, this is the thing. I don't know. I don't actually have any virtual reality games yet, so I'll have to factor in the download time.
Okay, well, let me tell you the best one on it. I've had it since day one.
Yeah.
Best game, Super Hot.
Super Hot. What happens in Super Hot?
Basically, you move, and then time moves. If you stand still, time's still, so you can dodge bullets and shoot people. I'm standing up in the room doing all the actions.
Well, like The Matrix.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of like you're in a world.
So hang on, if I stand still, time stands still.
Yeah, so you stand perfectly still and people are all stood. If you move slightly, they might fire their gun. The bullet won't move unless you move.
Oh, what's it called? Super Hot?
Super Hot. And it's the best game on it.
Okay. And how much is Super Hot?
Don't know, probably about a tenner, I think.
Mate, I'm there. Fine. I'm going to get in tonight. I'll download Super Hot. And then tomorrow, I'm going to... And I have to play it naked, someone was telling me. You have to play these VR games naked because the equipment...
It's the attachments you have to put on.
You have to wear them. And also, because it's such new equipment, it could cause your clothes to burst into flames. The guy that sold it to me said. So, and you have to put attachments on your nipples and your heart and your genitals. Yeah, we have to put
the one you have to insert into
the insertion, and you have to put the tube around the penis for the sex games that you can get for it, where it stimulates. You pretend you're making love to a lady. And it stimulates your penis. Have I got that right?
Guys. Which game was that one? I don't think I've played that one.
Alternatively, you could go out.
That might have been...
That's rubbish.
That might have been a dream. I'll have to have a look at one of the instructions.
Kinky VR dreams.
Kinky VR dreams. I thought we were supposed to have that. You're supposed to have body suits, weren't you, that have got sensors all over.
Haptic body suits.
Haptic, is that what it's called?
I believe so, yeah.
I need to know a lot about it, Hemo.
Well, have you heard of Ready Player One, the new Steven Spielberg.
Well, I was sent the book about 5 years ago, and I didn't read it because I don't really read.
Yeah, I read the book.
Was it good?
It was blooming brilliant. Oh, I like chucked the biggest nostalgia trip ever.
I chucked it away. But yet, there's a movie coming out of it, isn't there, Spielberg?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the movie, but the book was definitely a highlight. And I was book is one where you're reading it, you think, how the hell could anyone pull this off? Yeah. And when I've seen Spielberg's name attached, I thought, well, I suppose he's got the money and resources.
Well, but this is the thing, if you're wearing one of these haptic suits, you don't pull it off. They pull it off for you.
Well, yeah, that's true, actually. Virtually getting pulled off.
I would be plugged into that until I'd sucked out all of the electricity in the national grid. I'd suck the national grid dry.
I watch films on mine as well. You should try that.
Well, like movies?
Cinema Scream, yeah. There's like, you just watch stuff on it. And
no. But what? And you think you turn your head around and you can see people behind you in the cinema?
No, it's just an empty cinema.
But hang on a minute.
You can put your feet up.
But so what's the point of watching? I've got a big telly. What's the point of watching a movie on it?
Because what if, like, you have a guest round and you don't want to talk to them? You say, you watch telly and I'll sit here with my headset on.
Jeez. I've got a feeling it's going to give me a migraine. And I got motion sick watching the first Cloverfield film. Mm-hmm. So I suspect this is going to make me very, very ill.
I think the best thing to do is, especially with super hot, don't sit down. You have to be stood up and get moving. Use your whole body so your body thinks you're moving as well. If you sat still and you're moving around, then it's a bit weird.
Okay. All right. Nice one, Hemmo. Well, feel free to come and join me. Not don't come to my flat, but you can watch me tomorrow playing it.
I will. Don't worry.
Thank you, Hemmo. Cheers. Bye. And if it's rubbish, I'm gonna kill you. We'll actually murder you. Someone I won't murder is Dave, because he's too far away. He's in Stoke.
Evening, Ian. Evening, Kath.
Hello, Dave.
Evening, Dave. You've got a reprieve there, just by distance. With that in mind, what would you like to say?
Well, I was calling up about something else, but just from what you were saying about the Bare Naked Ladies reunion, I would advise anyone to see bands before they split up. Well, it's easy to say with hindsight, but I did the same with the Pixies. I was supposed to see them in 91 when I was 18.
Yep.
And it was at G-Max in Manchester. And went out and just got drunk with friends instead.
Yeah.
Sold my ticket to someone else. Thought, I'll get them next time.
Get them next time. And there is no next time. Here's the thing, and I said this the other day to Dougie Anderson. By the way, the Dougie Anderson podcast, where he came in, is up if you want to go and get it from iTunes or talkradio.co.uk or wherever. I don't think the Pixies are any good.
That's fighting talk.
Yeah, I know it is, but I like Gigantic. I like Alison.
I don't know any of them.
From distant star to this here bar, the moon, the sun. And I really like Alison because they played it on The Word once and my mum said, what is this rubbish? Alison. And whenever the Pixies were mentioned, my mum would go, Alison, Alison. and I've stood in a room behind a pub and watched the Pixies play a secret gig the night before they headlined Reading. I was stood at the front, directly in front of Kim Deal, and she was giving me the drug-induced come on. And if it had been a few years later, I'd have picked up on that. But I didn't really like them. I was only there to look cool.
I've loved them since then, since I missed them, and did finally get to see them in, like, 13 years later when they reformed.
With Kim Deal?
With Kim Deal, yeah. Brixton Academy one, they wouldn't have been the same without Kim.
No, well, she's not in it now, though, is she?
No, she's gone off to do her own stuff. She was in them for a bit when they reformed, but I think she got a bit sick of the big tours they were doing.
Yeah, well, you know, these guys... okay, but what did you... yes, now I remember. You actually called in for something else, though.
I know you're into your Japanese pop culture.
Yes.
And the other day, I was on the YouTube, and for some reason, one of the recommendations, and considering I'm not a huge fan of Japanese pop culture or Kirsten Dunst,
yes,
it was a bit odd. I didn't know she'd done a cover of Turning Japanese.
Yeah, Kirsten
Dunst has done Turning Japanese.
Yeah, not entirely sure she knows what it's about.
Well, well, apparently it's not...
I went down a rabbit hole after that and found out what it was about.
Well, apparently it's not about that.
Of course it is.
The vapors will say it's not... All right, here we go. Kirsten Dunst. Oh, I like her. Here we go. Right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
It's slightly pervy.
Yeah, it's very pervy.
That's why YouTube recommended it.
That's... What's that noise? Oh, that's the boat that we're on.
Stop the boat a minute.
Here we go. Here we go. This is it. Right. Okay. I want to watch the actual video and not someone's put together crappy...
This is it.
Is this it?
Yeah, she's done it in Japanese style.
Okay. Here we go. Kirsten Dunst sings about onions.
Oh, it starts off with that for a few seconds.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Been there. Been there. Been there.
Oh, you'll probably recognise most of the places, isn't it?
Been there. Been there. Yay! Oh, she can't. She can't. Oh, don't frame it there. she can't sing at all. Then that would appear.
Well,
no, it's auto-tuned to hell.
That's a shame. That's a shame. Oh well. But thanks for bringing it to my attention.
That's quite all right.
Nice one, Dave.
All right. I'll speak to you soon.
And if you were nearer, I wouldn't murder you. How's about that?
But I might.
There we go. Thank you very much, David. 03444991000 is the telephone number. Jasmine, stay there. Jasmine was the one who did the sensory deprivation.
She did as a song as well.
Oh.
Did you hear it?
No.
She tweeted it.
I don't click on links.
Yeah.
We tried to watch the sensory deprivation on Sunday. We encouraged our audience to watch it, but I think there was a problem with Periscope because we couldn't see, because we were struggling with Periscope, our end, to transmit, and we couldn't see Jasmine. So we don't actually have any evidence that she did this.
Only her word, and she's told us some very tall tales in the past.
I think she's a liar.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think she's a whack job. I think she's an absolute barn pot. Jasmine, you didn't hear any of that, did you? Okay, that's awkward.
No.
I thought that when they were on the top bit of the screen, they couldn't hear us. When they're on the bottom bit, Someone should have told me that. That's 2 years. Bloody hell. That explains a lot. That explains a lot of the... hostility, I get. Right, so another hour of this to go before Paul Ross at 1 o'clock, so do give us a call. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, we will call you back. You are listening to Ian and Kath, the Late Night Alternative, and you only get it here Monday to Friday on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The wild man of late night radio, Ian Lee.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
On air and off the leash.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
That was Jennifer by the Pixies. 0344 499 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. That's actually quite a good song. I enjoyed that more than I was expecting to. And on the basis of that, I retract everything I've said about the Pixies. They are nothing but a phenomenon. Dun, 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 dun. Another hour to go. This is the Late Night Alternative. We're here Monday to Friday. Sometimes it's me, Ian Lee, good evening. Sometimes it's me and Kath. But always it's you! Smug, smarmy, insincere, fake thing to say. But it is a phone-in show unlike any other, and that we're not going to sit here and talk about Muslims or Brexit or Trump, or we're not going to bang on about the weather incessantly, although it's a conversation point, isn't it? Instead, we kind of sit here and we talk about music and films and art and life and death and depression and medication and alcoholism and drug addiction and music and love and sex and death and all the wonderful things in between. And you're welcome to join in with anything you fancy at all. Isn't that right, Catherine?
Yeah.
You're having a Horlicks. Yeah, it's a great... I mean, it's not proper Horlicks because it's Horlicks but with water. It's low-fat Horlicks. This is my fifth one of the day. But it is... It really is very, very nice. There you are, you're right.
Is that yours?
Is it money? Yep.
Yeah,
what
quid.
Is that? Is that a quid?
Shiny quid.
Yeah, go on, you have it. You found it. Finest keepers. I've got plenty of jungle money in it, although I'm spaffing that away at a rate of knots. Jasmine!
Hello,
Jasmine. How are you? So, we tried to watch your 24 hours where you were going to be blindfolded and have headphones over your ears, like they do in Mr. and Mrs., so they can't hear the answers. And we tried to watch it about 9:15 on Sunday when we were on stage at the wonderful Rondo Theatre in Bath. And we encouraged all of our audience, 100 people, well, 88 people, because 12 people didn't turn up. So we encouraged them to... I wonder why they didn't turn up. I think they bought tickets when I was in the jungle and then forgot.
Probably.
That happens. it's like, I can't remember when we're seeing John Ronson, but we are. Mm-hmm. I know it's a Friday. And so we tried to watch, but there was no picture.
Okay.
Unless that was a picture from inside, that was inside your head. Somehow you'd inserted the camera into you. I don't know if that's possible. Well,
I did also stream on Monday.
So did you do it? And what was it like? And what have you learnt?
Okay, but first up, I wanted to say that I found it very, very kind of you how you just talked about me in front of your audience.
Yep. Yeah, we did. We talked about it. We were excited.
Yeah, I'm always honest. But about the project, I wanted to say that you were right and I nearly got crazy.
Yeah, you went crazy. Yeah.
I didn't know really what I let myself into. But the biggest problem was the lack of sleep. I had to throw up next morning and also had strong epileptic fits.
You had to throw up in a pixie?
What, please?
You had to, what
did you say? To throw up in a what?
You had to throw up the next morning and then throw up in what?
I also have epilepsy.
Okay. And so how long did you do it for?
24 hours with 2 hours of sleep.
No, impossible.
Well, this 2 hours of sleep, I didn't realise.
How did you know if you were asleep?
I didn't realise there was a little get out. Did you take the stuff off when you fell asleep?
No, of course not.
Of course not. How did you wake up?
Normal.
The alarm?
Vibration alarm clock.
The vibration alarm clock. She just realised that by saying the alarm, oh no, I was supposed to be deaf. We have the vibration alarm clock.
Hmm.
It's fair good. Okay, well, oh, I saw the pictures, Jazz. All seriousness, I saw the pictures and I thought, you know, well done you for doing something a little bit different. I thought it was good. Next time, do it for 48 hours without any sleep.
Oh!
But so what did you do? Did you, like, try and move around the house? Did you drive a car? What did you do?
I No, I was at home all day long, and I couldn't really do a lot. I couldn't cook, or couldn't do housework or things like that.
Couldn't do housework.
No, I can't either.
Just had to sit on the table or lay on the bed or things like that.
Could you make a... You could make a sandwich, couldn't you?
Yeah, but not very well.
Yeah, well, exactly. A blind man sandwich, we call it. Well, she'd know where her mouth was.
Oh, I can't.
You're miming the food going into her cheek. She'd know where her mouth was. I could make a pretty good blindfold sandwich because I've got the bread out, and there's my knife. Where's my butter? There's my butter. Lid off. Butter. First bit. There.
Oh, you've ripped the bread. It
doesn't matter.
No,
because it's margarine. I'm not stupid. It's Olivia. I'm not stupid. The second one, right? I'm not going to bother tidying up. Right, and I've got... This is what I've started doing now. Now that I live on my own. And I just can't be arsed. And I haven't really got a kitchen. I've got a sink. So I've started buying grated cheese. The only food I prepare in my sad, pathetic, 44, soon to be 45-year-old, pre-divorce life is porridge in the microwave.
With salt.
I put salt in my porridge today. I spelt my porridge P-O-R-A-G-E, the way it's meant to be. So I put salt in there. And it was like salty porridge. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Hey? Hmm? And...
God!
It was... Seriously, eating that salty porridge was like sucking off a tramp. Now, it was... I don't know if you can say that on the radio. We'll find out when the Ofcom complaint comes back. You all right, Catherine? You all right? Oh, okay.
Trump's going to be furious. It's supposed to be your secret.
Well, so, here's the... Here's the thing. So I've started buying grated cheese, pre-grated cheese.
Now, lazy man's cheese, lazy cheese.
Yeah, very lazy cheese. Here's the thing with grated cheese, you get more. If you've got a block of cheese, you'll make a sandwich, grate it. Because if you cut it in strips, that'll be gone in 3-4 sandwiches. You grate it, you can get 8, 9, 10 sandwiches out of that.
I actually think that maybe it's not so lazy to buy grated cheese because when you're grating your own cheese, there's always a bit of overflow that you can't get. You have to bin it because it's just a sweaty end by the time.
One of the joys of living on my own is I can cut the cheese whenever I want.
Listen, like company deters you.
I say one of the joys, the only joy of my sad life. Will you remind me, Jasmine, were you doing this for college or was it to impress me? Remind me what the purpose of this?
That's a question that a lot of people come and ask me. And they ask Jasmine, how do you think that you can help people with that?
Okay.
And I always say that it's about my stories.
I would buy them a vibration alarm clock. And I would make them sandwiches in advance before they went blind. I'm teasing you ever so slightly, but I genuinely have a lot of... respect for people who go and do stuff like that. Whatever the purpose was behind it, I like people that challenge themselves and put themselves in uncomfortable positions and do stuff that other people think is a bit odd because the odd people are the interesting ones. And I think, well done, Jasmine, for doing it. I'm sorry we couldn't get to see you doing it.
Sorry you couldn't see it.
And what's all this nonsense about you writing a song?
I've just been very creative this morning.
Okay. I haven't heard it. Can you sing it?
Well, you've got... She sent a video.
Is there a video of it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful video.
Yes.
Let me find it. All right.
You carry on talking and I'll find it and retweet.
Okay, fine. All right, well... how long is it going to take you to find it? I've kind of come to the end of the conversazione.
Well, make something up. You sing to her.
Jasmine, I remember the first time that you called. I got so nervous I couldn't speak. But when I did, the words came out of my mouth. They said, I love you. Won't you come away with me? Yeah, come away with me. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna drive my car. You're gonna sit in it. We're gonna drive to the sea. Gonna watch the waves.
I found it, thank God.
Okay, have you retweeted it?
Shall I retweet it and then you can?
I'll unmute you.
Play
so I can
it.
See it.
I'm muted again.
There we go. Lettuce. Go on then, retweet it now.
Done it.
Okay, well, I can't see it.
Refresh.
I'll refresh your face in a minute. A song dedicated to you, recorded in Switzerland. Here we go. All right. Okay, so ten views so far. Here we go. Shh. This is it.
Maybe tomorrow I give you a call. Until tomorrow I won't pick up my phone. And every button I push, I make sure it's the right number for talk radio.
Hang on a minute, I've heard this song before. Hang on a
second. Maybe tomorrow I'll give you a call. Until tomorrow I won't pick up my phone. And every button I push, I make sure it's the right number for talk radio.
I know that song, everybody.
Maybe it's tomorrow I'll give you a call. Until tomorrow I won't break out my phone. And I'm replenished the song. It's the right number for talk radio.
Never call us again, Jasmine. Thanks very much indeed. Bloody hell.
Maybe tomorrow.
Hang on a minute. Let's have a listen again.
Maybe tomorrow I'll give you a call. Until tomorrow I won't break out my phone. And every time I push, I make sure it's the right number for talk radio.
Well, that is the
every
new
theme.
Every time
I push, did you say?
Every time I push, I make sure.
Explains the noise.
It's the
pushing.
Right number for talk radio. That's the new theme for the show, guys. That's it. We have a national anthem. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
Maybe tomorrow I'll give you a call. Until tomorrow I won't break out my phone. And every time I push, I will make sure it's the right number for talk radio.
It's actually very, very catchy.
So catchy.
Evening, Matt.
Maybe tomorrow I'll grate my sweaty end. Until tomorrow, a such tramp is my friend. Good evening.
Kath doesn't like her Horlicks. I've called her a T-word, and then she's bought me a hat, but she's bought me one too small, so I've called her a T-word twice.
How rude.
She accused you of having a sweaty end.
Yep, these things happen.
You know what I mean. The bit you're gripping when you're grating, yeah, ends up, exactly. It's no good for anything. I wouldn't want to eat it.
No, what you do then is you then...
Right,
no,
at the end.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. And you can
you
do
push
this,
it through?
No, listen, right? And you can do this with stale cheese, right? And it goes hard. Put it on
a bit. If it goes hard, you can put it in a cheese sauce.
No, oh yeah, whatever you ponce. Or you put it on a bit of toast, a bit of bread under the grill, you've got cheese on toast. That's what the sweaty, manky bit is for cheese on toast.
No.
Or it can go in a lovely French onion soup.
Oh, what an absolute... Well, yes, Your Majesty, I'm going to make an onion soup with my cheese, Your Majesty, and then I'm going to go and solve the Jack the Ripper. Get out of town.
Well, you're the one that was sucking off tramps. So
that's the third time you mentioned that. But I think
you started it.
I know, and I finished it as well. But that's let's end it here. Is what he said to me, and I couldn't speak. Anyway, stop it because we really are getting close to it now. Right. So Matt, what do you want?
I wanted to ask you some advice as an expert on beard management.
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
Ignore her. She's an idiot.
Face beard.
Yes.
I've been growing a beard, and it's grown, and I think it looks quite distinguished, but it itches and tickles all the time. And I bought balm and oil and all sorts of stuff for it, but it won't stop tickling. And I was wondering if there's any hints that you could give us.
Yeah, it's not long enough.
Nouveau.
It's not long enough. Oh. How long have you been growing it for? 3 weeks?
4 weeks.
Yeah. Mate, you got a few more weeks to go yet, buddy. You're at the itchy stage.
It's beard length.
No. You've got to go a bit longer. Go and find a nice barber and get him to trim it and tidy it all up for you, mate.
I've done all that. Right, well, been there, done that. Bought a T-shirt, mate.
Well, then obviously you're not. Well, obviously you're not cut out for the manly world of beards. Don't bet any of that pomade stuff. No, I got a nice. I tell you what, I've got actually a nice sort of moisturiser for it. But that's the only thing I put. Mm. I tried beard oil once, and it made me look like. It made me look like someone from the 80s with a wet beard.
Oh, like Soul Glow.
Yeah.
It was not
appropriate. Smelt nice, okay. But it looked silly.
Just face moisturiser, just normal Nivea type stuff.
I don't know because my beard doesn't itch me.
Oh.
0344-499-1000. How should Matt best treat his feminine skin that's being ruined by his beard, which is obviously not manly enough to actually carry.
I'm such a failure. The other thing, just before I let you go on to more interesting people, is a couple of friends of mine have tonight been having a go at me for not being remotely into Bob Dylan, and I wanted you just to tell me the first and only album that I should listen to so that I can pretend... I know that.
Okay, Blood on the Tracks. There you go.
Thank you. That'll do. Thank you very much.
Not Blood on the Tracks. No. Sorry. Shot of Love.
Shot of Love. Sounds dirty. I'll have a look.
All right. Yeah. That nice one, man. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Shot of Love. Before he turns the radio on, it's from about 1981. It's his third in his Christian trilogy, and apparently it's awful.
Does it go? Maybe tomorrow.
My passion for Bob Dylan grows. Last night I couldn't sleep, so I ordered some Bob Dylan stuff online. Ordered some more CDs, including the 6-CD box set of Bob Dylan and the Band, the complete basement tapes. Bought the complete box set, 6 CDs. Do they mean me? They surely do. What was his name? Derek Jameson. Do they mean me? They surely do.
Didn't he work on talk radio, him and his wife?
Yeah, he might have done, actually, yeah.
They used to be quite funny.
He was an old paper boy, wasn't
he? Fleet Street.
Fleet Street. Do they mean me? They surely do. I'm Derek Jameson. And I'm Brian Walden. And both of these are impressions that people under the age of 45 will not be able to get. But they're good. My only impressions are of people that no one knows. Isn't that amazing? What are we going to do, man? 0344-499-1000. Well, we're exactly where we were 2 hours ago. And those 2 hours, flown by.
Yeah.
Absolutely flown by. I said it was going to be could be a good show or a bad show. It's been a good show today.
Yes.
Been a good show. I enjoyed, you said, wrapping up with 37 minutes to go.
Don't
you
do that.
Chancer.
Don't do that.
You absolute chancer. Ooh, chancer. Oh, here we go. Let's do some of the papers and stories.
Do you brush your beard?
No, I've got a comb.
Because I've been watching a lot of the new Queer Eye on... Yeah. You should watch it. There's some top tips in there. And they recommend... And what it looks like is like a softer sort of nail brush.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Brush it through and then you don't get, beard dandruff.
No. I'll get beard dandruff. A lot of beard dandruff.
Well, you need to give it a good brushing.
I'm not that bothered by it. There's a rat in me plums. What am I gonna do? It's a strange... Headline from the Daily Star. Stories in all the papers, but the Daily Star have gone, there's a rat in my plums. Except they put mine, it should be me. There's a rat in me plums, what am I gonna do? Mum's punnet horror. A mum found a live rat inside a punnet of plums. Punnet. Great name for a prog rock group, guys. If any youngsters out there are starting a prog rock group, call yourselves Punnet. Salma Riaz, 32, picked up the fruit in her local supermarket. I've picked up a fruit or two in my local supermarket as well. But when the mum of two heard scratching noises from the kitchen in the night, she went to investigate. I'm going to carry on reading this story, but my initial reaction is that surely that rat then entered the punnet in her home, not in the supermarket, because you can't carry around a punnet of plums... And there's a rat in
and
it.
You don't feel
you
it.
You don't know.
Rats are big.
Yeah. She screamed for her husband, who raced down to join her. But he was delighted. But he was delighted.
A job for me, dear. Thank you.
Salma said, I was shaken up. All sorts of things were going through my mind at the time, like what would happen if my daughter had gone for fruit in the morning and found it. Here we go, here we go. The couple took the rat and the fruit back to the shop in Rochdale.
Took the rat back?
And the next thing, it was removed by pest control. Well, maybe it was if it was sealed. No, but it would have been able to cut through the... Because it's just those netting bags. This doesn't make sense.
No.
Salma was so baffled by the find, she called Rochdale Council to demand answers on how the rat had ended up in her shopping basket. She now believes, here we go, that it had survived the journey from the packing plant in sub-zero temperatures by falling into a very deep sleep.
Ah.
But the cosy temperatures of Salma's kitchen made it perk up. She was so upset she could not go back into her kitchen for days. Flippin' heck. The shop where she bought the plum said, we carried out a thorough internal investigation and can confirm there is no issue with our store or warehouses. We are now investigating this isolated incident with our supplier.
Oh.
We have apologised to Mrs. Riaz and offered her a gesture of goodwill. The gesture was this. Ms. Riaz, please, I take back my claim that you were making it all up and it had gone. Because that is horrible. That is absolutely Dirty Bertie from number 30.
I read something online about a woman finding a dead mouse sewn inside her daughter's new school skirt.
Yeah, I put it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put it there.
What, the dead mouse?
Yep. I put it there.
It's a filthy trick.
I go around putting dead mice into the skirts of school children. Don't ask me why. It's just a thing I like to do. It's just a thing I do. Don't ask me why. Let's go to Gavin. Good evening, Gavin.
How you doing, Ian? All right?
I'm all right, thank you, Gavin. What
are
you doing?
Hello, Kath.
Hello.
I've got a suggestion of what to do with the last bit of sweaty cheese.
Here we go. This is good.
Yes, I don't know, man. You might like it. Rather than spend loads of money on really expensive prime cheddar,
yeah,
get your last bit of sweaty cheese,
yeah,
buy some cheap old Edam, and put the sweaty cheese in the holes.
Oh.
And pretend it's cheddar.
Fix the Edam and make it good again.
Edam's not got holes.
What's the one with holes?
Lidema.
No.
I think Edam has, hasn't it?
No.
It's quite solid.
No. Yes. Leerdammer has holes, but Leerdammer,
nice, isn't they?
Leerdammer is a brand of cheese. It's not a type of cheese, right?
Oh.
And there is a type with the Swiss cheese, Gruyere.
That's what I was after.
Is Gruyere? No, Gruyere's like runny cheese, isn't it?
No.
But then it's Swiss cheese. Swiss cheese.
But the Tom and Jerry use,
Exactly. Tom and Jerry cheese. Yeah, exactly. And Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap used to say that his brain was all Swiss cheesed.
Yeah.
And so that is that. So this is an excellent suggestion from we're asking.
Too much cheddar cheese, drill holes in it.
Yeah.
Vice versa.
Oh, mate. This guy's a cheesiest.
I'm a cheesemonger, man.
He's a cheesemonger.
All right, that's it, really.
Thanks, Gavin. Ta-ta. Cheers, there we go. We're asking tonight, what do you do with your leftover cheeses? Jesus Christ. Yes, Mark? Hello, Mark?
I feed it to my pet rats.
Sorry?
I feed it to my pet rats.
You'd feed it to your pet rats? Do you let your rats play with other people's plums?
I mean, that story really just prompts me to ring in and say, what an absolute load of rubbish.
Sorry, what?
That story was an absolute load of rubbish.
Pourquoi, Yati?
That did not happen.
What makes you so sure of that, Mark?
Because that's not how rats work.
Tell me how rats work.
They would not be in a deep slumber because of sub-zero temperatures.
Well, that's only a theory. Do you dispute the idea that there was a rat in her punnet of plums?
I do not dispute that when she went to her punnet of plums, there was a rat in the general location of it.
Right, because there's a picture. I've got a picture here of a punnet with a rat in it.
Okay.
Right. So there was, at some point, there was definitely, even if it was just for this photo, there was definitely a rat inside a punnet.
That's an empty punnet.
Right. Well, the rat. Okay, rat expert.
Oh no, hang on. So the plums there. Okay, I see.
Would rats eat plums?
Mm. Yeah.
Of course they would. Okay.
They right. would also. Anything. I would think they would nibble their way out of the punnet.
Well, this is what I would think, as well. So, Mark, are we going back? So, are we going back to the original suggestion that I made and then retracted? And maybe I'm going to put it forward again. The rat. Well, no, because the shop are investigating right. with the supplier. So that implies that they think something dodgy-bodsky's gone on.
Or they're passing the book.
OK, OK. I'm looking at it now. That rat is a baby rat for a start. It's only tiny.
It's a baby rat. OK, right. That still doesn't take away... That's still quite an horrific thing to find.
That probably explains some of my initial doubt.
Okay.
I didn't realise it's quite such a small rat. I was thinking full-size rat, which you would definitely notice.
Well, as we know, because we've seen pictures again on the front page of The Star, that a full-size rat is about the size of a three-year-old.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially when it's being held on a stick out towards the camera.
Yo, perspective! So what...
Source perspective fun. But yeah, I mean, I can sort of see from the way it's sort of caught up in the netting, it looks like it's just been caught up in the netting machine or something and then sort of sealed to the back.
So hang on a minute. Now you're saying that you do... Poor rat. I think poor woman that found it. And listen, I've not really got a problem with rats. When I was in the jungle, Mark, right, I had to do a challenge with rats, right, and there were rats everywhere. But this was my reckoning with the rats, OK, is that I got to see all the handlers that came and collected the animals afterwards, and the rats were pet shop rats,
right? They all had names.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't rats that they just caught in the jungle. They were rats that... one of them looked like a guinea pig. It was beautiful, and they shit everywhere.
They're incontinent.
But they just wanted to fall asleep, and I was picking them up, and they were wonderful, right? So I don't have a problem with that.
They only tend to... crap everywhere if they're scared.
Okay, well, then Amir was screaming a bit, so that would be it. But okay, well. But come on, man. And I'm sure your rats are lovely, you know, bred, pet shop rats, whatever they are. But you wouldn't like a dirty sewer rat to climb into your mouth while you were asleep, would you?
Is that some kind of euphemism? Or
I'm literally talking about, right, you're asleep.
I wouldn't want any rat to climb into
thank
my
you.
Mouth.
Thank you.
Because as clean as they are, and as lovely as their reputation is for being clean pets and all the rest of it, they do peel over each other.
But if you saw it, right, so you've got your rats in there like playpen.
If I saw a rat like trapped like that in a punnet of plums, I'd probably just open the netting and go and let it out. Go off like a bullet somewhere.
No.
As soon as it was free, to be off.
You're going to hate me for what I'm about to say.
No.
I would find a bit of 4B2.
Oh, no.
I would. I'm not even joking. If I was in the house and there was the kids would be screaming and my wife would be screaming, I would get a bit of 4B2. I'd take it to the garage, get a bit of 4B2 and I'd clobber it.
Oh, no.
Yeah? Why? It's a rat. It's not a pet rat. It's a tiny rat.
It's not going to do you any harm.
All right. OK. Then I'll give you another scenario. Not going to do you any harm. I'll give you another scenario. For a while in the garage... We had a problem with rats, and sometimes you'd go in there and you'd see rats scuttling around, right?
Did you keep food out in the garage?
Why the rats were there is irrelevant, right? That there were rats, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, were the rats an actual problem, or was it just the fact that you didn't like the idea of rats being in the garage?
Yeah, rats being in the garage is a problem.
Were they damaging?
I don't like the idea of rats in my garage.
Okay. So I'm just trying to work out how irrational your fear of the rats is.
No, it's not irrational. It's rational. First of all, it's not a fear of rats. I'm not afraid of rats. Right? Secondly, it's rational
You've just said you'd clobber a little baby rat to death. If that's not fear, I don't know what is.
Well, no, fear... I can tell you.
Just releasing it out.
No, I can tell you what fear would be. Fear would be not being able to go into the same room that the baby rat was in. I'm going in there and I'm going to stove its head in. That's not fear. That's bravery.
Well, it is because it's immobile, sealed to a package.
It would be immobile.
Like it can do anything back to you or get out of the way.
No, exactly. But if I was afraid, I'd be like, "Oh no, I can't! Oh God, no, you do it! I can't do it!" I'd be like, "Give me the punnet. I'll sort this out." That's not fear. That is the ultimate in bravery.
I just think there's a sociopathic tendency coming through here.
I think your sexual arousal. I think your sexual arousal template could do with a really good look at from you and a trained psychosexual therapist.
Well, that's probably true, regardless of my opinion.
Okay, fine.
To be honest.
So, I'm not afraid of rats, but if there was a rat in the garage and I saw it, I would do my best to. I did see it, and I tried to chase it, and it went down a hole. Well, we put. So, all right, okay. Oh, okay, okay. Hold your horses. So I couldn't stove the rat's head in the garage, right? We got out pest control and we put down poison. So, mm-hmm. Right. So, is that okay, Mark? You deviant.
So what you get then is you get poisoned rats running around. Other things eat those poisoned rats.
Sorry.
And you get poison into the food chain.
Who's eating the poison rats?
Whatever comes along and eats rats. Well, they have many predators.
Well, what? Yeah, like a fox. I don't eat fox. How far up this food chain? How far up this food chain do we have to go before I start eating it?
No, but your indiscriminate poisoning of random wildlife just means that.
No, it's not. It was set.
All the wildlife could be affected.
The poison.
You might be killing things.
The poison was set very specifically by where the rat was coming in. Very, very specifically.
Okay. So,
but hang on a second.
When you've got dead rotting rats in your wall spaces, yeah. Are you going to go in and get those now?
No. We could either get. First of all, it wasn't in the wall space. If you listened, it was in the garage, so they couldn't get into the wall space. Secondly, if that had happened, we'd have got out pest control again to. No, I don't mind removing. A dead rat.
Yeah, but you said the rat ran into a hole, so I assumed the hole would be in the wall and it'd be the space in the wall, wherever it was, garage or house.
Yeah, I don't know. You've obviously never seen a garage. No, the garage is single brick. Why am I describing the masonry of my where I used to? It would run from the outside through a hole, come in, do whatever it was doing, play a bit of Nintendo. I've got some old retro video games in there. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. Vectrex. And then it would go out. So we put the poison there. And of course, the poison isn't instant kill.
No, no.
It would allow them. They'd eat it. They'd be full. They'd run home, and then they'd die in front of their family. Now, Catherine, can't tell me you've got a problem with that.
I have a bit.
You've got a problem with poisoning rats.
Well,
absolute. This is right.
Here's what we did.
What you're going to hear now, listener, is
my favourite
bollocks.
Thing about the rats. Is the ones that are immune to the poison.
Yeah.
You won't be immune to my fist in a minute, Mark. Let's hear Catherine's nonsense.
The ones that come back and wreak bloody vengeance.
Let's hear what Catherine would do. Bearing in mind she's got two daughters.
What I did.
Okay, go on then.
When I was pregnant.
Yeah.
I went in the garage and we stupidly, and it was our fault, yes. Left boxes of old clothes in there.
Idiot.
And of course, inside one of the boxes of old clothes was a mouse and probably lots of other mice.
Sorry, just time out for a second. Stop the clock. What's this got to do with rats? Because mice and rats, completely different thing.
They're cousins.
If this doesn't turn into a rat story,
all right, okay. Then I'll start again. Inside the box was a big rat.
Shut up, man. If it's a mouse,
shut
it's
up.
A.
Let me finish.
It's nonsense.
So what I bought, because I didn't want dead things lying around. I was pregnant and I couldn't be going in there and sorting them out. And I also didn't want like live mice or indeed rats running around in the garage because I was pregnant and you're not supposed to be around animal feces. Unfortunately, human feces is something you become accustomed
stop
to.
Stop dragging out this story that is irrelevant.
I bought an electronic sonic alarm and they all went somewhere else.
So you tortured them?
No.
Yeah. The
no,
sonic
it's like playing,
no.
It's like playing
no,
classical
I've,
music
I've,
to teenagers.
It's not. No, it's not at all. I've researched this and I hope my good friend Mark will back me up on this. I've researched the electric pulses that can be used to get rid of mice and rats. And it's actually torture. It is a type of torture. It's similar to what they do to innocent men. That's what they say they are in Guantanamo Bay.
Would you rather be tortured or murdered?
If my four rats can tolerate me singing along to God knows what on Spotify, then I don't think that's going to faze them.
I would rather a swift kill where I died with a full belly in front of my family in a hole in the ground.
I'll bear that in mind.
So,
yes.
That's different though to having your head stoved in while immobile with a.
Mark, can I ask you a personal question?
If you like.
Are you Martin Lewis, the moneysavingexpert.com? Because you don't sound like him, doesn't he? Can you say, and you've got to say it really fast, you can get £20 off if you change provider.
You can get £20 off if you change provider.
It's Martin Lewis. Fair enough. Mogadon. Hey, Mark, I've really enjoyed talking to you, mate. Call again.
Will do.
Thank you very much indeed. He won't be listening again. I've basically dissed the entire rat kingdom.
Yeah, but I reined it back.
You didn't. You're talking about mice. It's irrelevant.
No.
So you might as well say, I've got a story about rats. My next-door neighbour bought a blue car. What? Yeah, no, they're cousins. There's nothing. They're not connected in any way, those stories.
Of course they are.
I go off on tangents, but at least my tangents are somehow joined by a thread to the original point.
Flipping elastic, yours. What are you on about?
Yeah.
You're very, very dyspeptic today. I think is that a thing?
Let's go to the break while I Google it.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Albert?
Hello. Hello, Mr. E.
Okay, it's a little bit racist.
Mr. E.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's quite a long way on the wrong side of racist.
You take a cab yesterday.
Yeah, listen, I'm all for funny voices and stuff, but it just feels, I'm sure it was well-intentioned, sure it was, but it just feels a little bit...
A bit on the nose.
A little bit on the nose here, guys. A little bit on the nose. page one. You've seen this picture of Greg Wallace there, right?
Oh, yeah.
The headline, Telly Chef Faces Jail for Fraud.
What?
Yeah, Greg Wallace, picture of him. Telly Chef Faces Jail for Fraud. Cook James Hewell Thomas, who appears on MasterChef tonight...
Well, you can't put that. You can't do that.
...is due in court tomorrow to be sentenced for fraud. It comes as a huge shock for BBC show judges Greg Wallace and John Turow. That's outrageous. Because no one's going to read that. That's the kind of thing... So just to clarify, Greg Wallace is not for fraud. That's the kind of thing you'd see in the petrol station. Oh, flipping it, is that Greg Wallace? It's out for fraud.
That's the assumption you would...
Isn't that awful? That's awful.
I don't think Greg Wallace is a chef, is he?
No, but... that would be the fraudulent thing. I'm not a massive fan of Greg Wallace, but that's a terrible...
Yeah.
What a terrible, terrible thing to do. That's outrageous.
I'm sure he could complain about that.
And also, I don't think any of the papers know what snowflake means.
Yeah.
Because they're all... I don't know if it... They're all talking about the weather, snowflakes. But then the Star have got this thing, the Warriors... Life's too tough for snowflakes.
That's not... No.
This is about mental health, right?
And
the Warriors. Life's too tough for snowflakes. Snowflake young adults... Because snowflake is an insult, right? Snowflake young adults spend more than 6 hours a day stressed out. A poll of 18 to 25-year-olds found money, appearance and career worries piled on the pressure. There we go. This is a really serious story. But 1 in 10 feel they have no one for support to discuss their concerns, leaving them to face their fears alone. Charity UK Youth has launched its hashtag Keep Me Safe campaign. This is a really serious thing about suicide, ultimately. Self-harm or certainly suffering. And they're doing the Warriors. Life's too tough for snowflake. You're not a snowflake if you're...
I wonder why some people feel like they can't take their worries to other people.
This is like a real sort of 80s headline. Charity UK Youth has launched its hashtag Keep Me Safe campaign, which calls on all organisations working with young people to take action during National Safeguarding Month. To worry about money, weight, appearance, getting a job... the average young adult has just 4 people they can turn to for help. And despite having an average of 165 friends on social media, 85% still have moments when they feel lonely. More than 40% think social media only adds to their worries. Yeah, I just thought, what weird, mean headline. Jack Bellamy. I mean, I don't know if you wrote the headline of it, Jack, but what a mean thing to do.
That looks to me like it came from a press release. It's been tossed out in 5 minutes, and then some smart ass has put a sub editor has put a headline on that's wholly inappropriate.
Where do we get here? Woo, 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 woo. Paul Ross is on at 1 o'clock, of course. James Mack's on at 5. He's on till 6:30. Then the station has a break between 6:30 and 10. And then at 10 o'clock it reboots and Mike Graham comes on. That's a little bit heavy. Here's the thing. I have never seen an episode of Peppa Pig.
Oh, they're brilliant.
No, I bet they're not.
They are brilliant.
Never seen it.
They're great. My girls loved that.
Parents roared with laughter after a Peppa Pig star ballsed up getting dressed and suddenly had a willy. The Soft Play Centre entertainer, appearing as Peppa's brother George, put the costume on back to front. Oh, dear, my goodness gracious me. Sonia and Paul Hurd, that's their name, spotted his sausage.
Look at that.
As the characters sang for kids. They filmed the fun and alerted other parents.
That means they all pointed and laughed.
Sonia, 37, said, he was dancing to the Okie Kokie with the lines in, out, shake it all about and wiggling it around. When I pointed it out to the other mums, they started salivating.
No.
They were in hysterics. George had clearly put the suit on the wrong way, but I don't think either character had any idea why we were all laughing. Kids didn't have a clue and were dancing, mesmerised by the characters. We were mesmerised by his dick. The couple had taken 2-year-old daughter Florence to the centre, which they did not want to name. Sonia of Ashby de la Zouche.
Say again?
Ashby de la Zouche.
Good one.
I got it right.
Yeah.
Added, I'll always laugh now when she is watching Peppa on TV or I see an old man's winkle. Of course, it's not accurate. It's not accurate, winkle, because the pig's penis is
a corkscrew,
aren't they?
We all know.
Corkscrew penis.
Have you seen a duck's one?
Oh yeah, you showed it to me.
I have. I wish I hadn't.
Yeah. I'm
not feeding them anymore.
No, dirty buggers. Dirty.
Apparently they're very, very rough with the lady ducks as well. What was that thing you showed me that looked like a hand?
Oh, that was my penis. No. Sorry. I wanted to get a second opinion on it.
No. What animals was it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
I filed it under Google searches I need to erase.
Oh, here we go. This is what I was going to do for the whole thing. Why doesn't Halle Berry make movies anymore? I bet because of her age.
Rich enough?
No, people don't stop making movies because they're rich. I bet it's because of her age, because she's 51 and that's considered old in Hollywood. I liked Halle Berry. Thought she was good. What film? Maybe I'm thinking of Halle Berry, yeah. Right, sex. Sex. We did the sex myth about the G-spot.
Yes, walnuts. Everyone will remember last night.
No, this is it. As boffins say G-spot is great sex myth, what else is fake?
What's that picture?
She's looking at his huge or tiny penis. Bigger penises are more satisfying. Great news for those not so well endowed. Big is not necessarily better. Despite the average penis being 5.4 inches, scientifically, the most satisfying... Right, well, this...
Who's the scientist that carried out that research?
Scientifically, the most satisfying would be just 1 inch long, as women receive most pleasure from clitoral stimulation, as most nerve endings are around the first inch of the vagina. Any more than 1 inch is a waste. Fellas can help themselves by losing weight, meditating, and quitting smoking. Lie 2.
hickeys are harmless. We call them love bites in this country. Mm. We're not happy days. Every teenager has at some time experienced the stamp of shame on their neck and passed off the love bite as a harmless bit of fun. But sucking too hard on someone's neck can cause a stroke.
Oh, my God!
In 2011...
Also, toothpaste on it doesn't work.
No, no, no. A woman in New Zealand had a stroke after a lover sucked on her neck, leading to an artery blockage.
Oh, one of those strokes.
Men never fake it. Line number three. Men never fake it. I've faked it before because it was all very wet and messy.
Oh, okay, right.
I just couldn't be bothered. Yes, yes, yes. Actually, no, no, no. Researchers found that men too can be the great pretenders in bed. In fact, a study by the University of Kansas discovered that almost 25% of men surveyed had faked an orgasm, while 50% of women had acted up too. It feels very 80s to be faking orgasms, though. You know, nowadays we all know what you've got to do, haven't you? That's what people do. Okay. Line number four. Oh, for goodness. I don't even know if I can say this. Well, it's a natural body phenomenon.
Here we go.
Well, number four, women don't have wet dreams. Sweet dreams, ladies. Men are not the only ones to get turned on in their sleep. A study in the Journal of Sex Research. Do you know what? I'm waiting for the latest issue of that to be delivered to me. Due any day this week. Revealed 85% of women had experienced nocturnal orgasms. Scientists have found you can stimulate the pleasure center of your brain by imagining you're having a romp.
A romp. A word used only in newspapers.
Here we go. Line number five. You can be addicted to sex. That's a lie, apparently. Celebs such as Tiger Woods, Russell Brand, Katie Price's husband Kieran Haler and Charlie Sheen have all claimed they have a sex addiction, but it's not recognised as a legitimate psychiatric condition in the UK or the US. Elite rehab clinics. I disagree with that. I think if you can... if it changes your brain chemistry. Anyway... Line number six, men don't get the nipple ripple.
What?
It's well known that women's nipples are erogenous zones. But stop giving your man's nips the slips, as research found over 50% of fellas enjoy nipple stimulation too. Biologically, the nipples of both genders are similar. Line number seven, big feet, big penis, which is the title of my autobiography, which will be coming out soon. Put your size 10s away now, blokes, as your big feet are nothing to be proud of. A study of 104 men by University College London found no correlation between their shoe and penis size. The only thing a man's feet will tell you is whether or not he washes between his toes and therefore everywhere else. Line number nine. Unsatisfied men can get blue balls. Well, this is true. It is not. You don't literally go blue, but you get ball ache. I've had ball ache. Sorry?
Carry on.
Ball ache.
This is a whole new world.
And the only way... I remember at college, I had terrible ball ache, and I was told... Go and sort yourself out. Men have peddled this tale since the dawn of time, complaining that not having sex to completion causes blue balls. Don't worry, blokes, you won't end up in A&E. The blood build-up in the testicles may cause discomfort, but it's not dangerous. The line number 19, the missionary is meh. Anyone who says they do not love the missionary position is either lying or from Belfast.
What?
A nationwide survey in 2015 revealed it to be the number one position for lovers everywhere in the UK, except in Northern Ireland, where women came out on top, literally. The straightforward missionary is great for talking during intimacy and is one of the most visually exciting positions. I disagree, actually. I don't think it's the most visually exciting. To rev it up a little, the woman could raise her bottom with a cushion to boost stimulation. Feel like Dr. Pam. Lie 11. More sex equals more space. The more sex a woman has, the looser her vagina becomes is yet another myth. I don't want to talk about loose vaginas. Let's
On that bombshell.
On that bombshell, guys. Let's end this this chat before we, you know.
You're going to have some weird dreams tonight.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, I think we could best about got away with that. Thank you, everyone who listened. Thank you to most people. I'd say about to 85% of the people that called in. We will be back tonight at 10 o'clock. Don't forget, there is a podcast put up every day. The Dougie Anderson interview, the Tony Hendra interview, they're all up. They tend to go up about sort of 7, 8 o'clock, something like that in the evening. So tonight's Best of Bits and Stephen Page will go up tomorrow. You dig? You can get them on iTunes or your usual podcast providers. Do me a favour. If you like them, subscribe to them and also share them. That those three things would be very, very helpful to us. Talk Radio doesn't switch off now because coming up next is Paul Ross.